Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Amen. You can all be seated this morning. Praise God. I'll tell you, it's a wonderful thing to come to the house of God and Him being here, huh? You know, that I'm sorry to say this morning, I don't mean to sound offensive, but you know, there's many people that have gone out to churches this morning, they call it the house of God, and He's not there. You say, I don't know if I believe that. I do believe that, amen. Got plenty of Bible to confirm such a thing. Sometimes there's Ichabod put over the door of the churches in many cases and many times. It means that the Spirit of God no longer dwells there. There's many, many churches and many denominations, we may say, and many works that started out where people really loved God and they worshiped the Lord, had founders and men of God that stayed before the Lord, howled between the porch and the altars all night long and really had a love for the lost and was seeking after the lost to bring them into the kingdom of God and started mighty moves of God. Some of them have gone on, meet their reward, and over years of time, other men have taken up the work. Some have labored in the same spirit, the gospel of love, and they've continued on. But others, they've turned them into big business and organizations and clubs. And the Spirit of God departed and left. I had the opportunity at the hospital the other evening to meet a United Methodist pastor. Sometimes I wonder why the Lord allows me to say some of the things I say. But as I met this man, I spoke about John Wesley. You know, he was the founder of that move, we could say. And I said, I don't believe there was ever a finer man than that ever walked this earth. He's a committed man, a devout man. I believe he was a man full of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God. And I made mention to this pastor, I said, I believe that Brother Wesley would be very disappointed with you all that call yourself United Methodists in this day and hour, with the foolishness and the ignorance and the doctrinal perversions that have taken place. I know that would sound offensive, but all a man could do is look at me in the eye and say, I went on to mention, I said, there's a Methodist church here in the High Point area, which I got report that they've had a homosexual in the church ministering the gospel. He made an attempt to minister the word of God, I might say. But I'll tell you one thing, there's no Holy Ghost living or dwelling in any such perversion as such. And God never ordained or put a homosexual into the office of a bishop or an evangelist of any way such, of any kind. I know that God could save a homosexual man and fill him with the Holy Ghost and put a calling in his life to preach the gospel. I do understand and believe that. And I know that God could clean one up from the most filthy, perverted, sinful lifestyle and clean him up or her up and make them pure and whole without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. We're serving an awesome God. And He can take that individual, that man, and stick him behind a sacred desk, and he can preach the Word of God, amen, and bring people to repentance and see an increase added to the kingdom of God. I don't limit God. But I'll tell you one thing. When they're still walking in that perversion and that filth of that kind of sin, God is not there with them, and He's not honoring it and blessing it, amen. Oh, the rain will come. You'll feel the rain of God. He might speak the word and you'll feel the rain. Might even get a goosebump or two, huh? But that doesn't mean that God is pleased or honored or blessed that, because the rain comes on the just and the unjust. And that man would be an unjust man. But as I used that for a thought to this man, I told him, I said, I believe that Wesley, I can tell you one thing, that brother, if he came into their church and started preaching the gospel, he would do like the Lord Jesus Christ did when he walked into the synagogues there in Jerusalem, and he took a whip and he ran them out of there. He took a whip and he ran them out of the what they called the church because they become money changers. Believe me, I think Brother Wesley would be doing the same. I could go and talk about other great men of God that started works and different kind of things that would do the very same thing. Amen. You know, we are a Pentecostal people, and I believe that when I look over and we think of the Pentecostal move, some would say that's the cream of the crop, you know, the Pentecostals. I'll tell you, I've never seen so much foolishness and ignorance going on in any sect of people in all my life as what's going on in our Pentecostal churches around this country. And I'm sorry to say that. You say, I came to church this morning to hear the Word of God, to praise the Lord and worship. And I say, you'll hear it. Amen. But I'll tell you what, we got to get some things in order. There's people that got their lives out of order and they're taking and receiving and believing all kinds of foolishness. The Bible talks about in this end time about gross darkness. And I'll tell you what, we are in a dark, 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 dark day and hour. There is so much intellectual gross darkness that has gripped the mind of humanity in this day and hour, and the religious folks and the religious people. It is a sad day. You must be born again to inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. I hear so many things that are being and going forth out there. Just, I marvel at some of the foolishness and some of these men that call themselves preachers and pastors and different things, and some of the ignorance and the things that they're teaching and saying and exalting and lifting up. I heard some reports about some of these meetings, and I witnessed accounts of them on a clip, and I thought, come on, man, what kind of foolishness is this? And they do it, and they call it in the name of the Lord? Come on, folks. I can't believe some things. I know when God might come and touch you and set you free from some sort of a bondage, set you free from a devil. Yes, man, I could expect you to get excited about it. When you've been delivered and set free, you might shout, you might scream, you might run, you might dance, you might holler. You know, hey, man, I'm with you. Praise God. But I've witnessed some of the most foolish, ignorant stuff. They put in leashes, dog leashes on some of these men, and some woman leading them around as he's crawling around the church barking, and they say that this is the Holy Ghost. And they talk about this Holy Ghost laughter, and they all sit around bumping into each other, falling on the floor, laughing and calling this the move of the Holy Ghost. My God isn't a God of confusion, amen. And I walked into a mess like this and said, what's the hell God getting the glory in this? Let me tell you, I've had God put me down. I've had him take my strength. I've had him put me on the floor that I could not move. I was all by myself. There wasn't nobody around. And I said, oh my God, what's going on here? Am I paralyzed? I couldn't even pick up my head. I couldn't lift a finger. I couldn't do nothing. God just slayed me in such a way and put me down to show me his power. I know what God can do. I've seen people under the anointing of the Holy Ghost and the move of the Spirit. I've seen them dance. I've seen them with their eyes closed and go through people, never knock nothing down or nobody down. I've seen some things, brothers and sisters, over the years. So I'm not taking away the power of God, but I'm talking about the imitation. I'm talking about this so-called, what they're calling the Holy Ghost. I couldn't believe some of the foolishness. It just grieves my spirit that people are gullible enough and ignorant enough and demon-possessed enough to sit in such a filthy mess and thinking that it's God that's doing this. Amen. There's a great dark day of deception. And I'll tell you what, the Bible says it's a small flock and few be there that find it. Amen. Well, with that thought in mind, I was planning on going over here to the 6th chapter of 1 Timothy, but I look over here to the chapter 4, and I think that's where the Lord's going to have me read at there this morning. Amen. I look down here, and I see in verse 4, I think maybe we'll read right there this morning. Amen. Confirm somewhat what the Spirit of the Lord has already spoken to us here this morning. Amen. Last night at the hospital, there was a man that came in, and he was being led by a woman, his wife. He had a white cane, and she brought him in, and I'm seeing him feel around and stuff. She got him set down in a chair, and she went off and left him, and he sat there. Just kind of, can't say he was looking around, but he just sat there. So I went over to him. I said, how you doing today, sir? And he, you know, made an appearance to try to look up. He's legally blind and lost the sight in both of his eyes. He could say he could make out just a little bit or see an image. He couldn't make out anything. And he tried to look and see in the light. He said, I'm doing fine, thank you. And I started talking to him about blindness. You know, we need to listen to the Lord, be sensitive to the Spirit of God. There were people there with me at the hospital, or I could say I was with them. And they thought, does Brother Rob know that man? Does he know him? How's he just walk over and start talking to somebody he doesn't know? God knows him. God felt the burden in his heart, seen the pain in the brother's heart. So I went over and started talking to him about blindness. I said, you know, the Lord Jesus sat and spoke to people that had 20/20 vision and was looking at them, and he told them that they were blind, that they could not see. And I started talking to him about seeing the Lord, and the man started to cry. He said, you know, I've went blind over 2 years ago. He said, I've questioned God. I could see the pain in his voice, that I believe he's even been angry with God. So I sat for a few minutes talking to him about the goodness of God, and that all things work for the good of them who love God, and that God has his way in the good and in the evil. And as the man wept, and listened, gave me an opportunity to talk to him. Got his address, going to send him some things. But even through the pain, the hurt, and all that, he started testifying God. And then he started sharing with me the story why he was at the hospital. 32-year-old son-in-law jumped off into a swimming pool on Saturday, broke his neck. He broke two of the same vertebrae that I broke. He broke two, I broke three. They got him in the hospital room there. He's considered quadriplegic. He can't even talk. They said he could move his mouth, but he can't speak. Move his head just a little bit, but they got him already wired up, I think, with one of them halo things. Man was struggling to understand that. He said, just 32 years old. People struggle with those kind of things. Why? You've heard me quote the scripture so oftentimes. The Bible said, ye that suffer in the flesh cease from sin. I could share stories of watching people get eaten alive by cancer, where it's consuming their flesh. And I could talk about how good God is, because that individual, I've met him that's been their flesh being consumed by cancer. God has his way in the good and the evil, and I've watched these things take place, and that individual never served God, never walked with God, and this and that, but why they went through a bout with cancer for several years fighting for their life, they learned to find out what life was, and they started learning to worship and to testify and praise a living God. Amen. I'll tell you what, that's the mercy and the love of God. We need to understand things sometimes. This life is short. It's miserable, full of vexation and woes. Amen. According to the scriptures. But you know what? We're not looking for physical health, and God does grant that to us. We're not looking for riches of this world, and he does grant that to us also. But that's not what we're here seeking nor looking for. We're here to seek and to look and to fellowship and to walk with a God, a King and a Lord, amen, and worship him. And we're here to look to bring others into his kingdom and tell them about his goodness, amen, hallelujah. And we could rejoice in suffering. We could praise him in affliction and in persecution, amen. Hallelujah. We're serving an awesome God. Let's get real with God. Amen. You know, there's many people that could worship and talk about their God while everything's going fine, while everything's going good, while their bills are paid and their lights are burning and everything. Boy, yeah, God's a good God. But let a little bit of affliction, let a little bit of things, you know, come their direction, and all of a sudden, man, it's just like their God don't exist no more. Let me tell you something, that's when you'll really find him, when you're down there. When you go and read in the book of Hebrews, 11th chapter, about faith, you're going to find about God being there when the devourer came, when death came, when the murder came, when the army came to destroy, and different things you find there in that particular scripture. That's when God came and showed himself, amen. So rejoice in the Lord and praise him. He's our God and our King. Love him, amen. And don't look at the circumstances and the situation that this world has. I remember ministering a message years and years ago about don't let the circumstances change you, amen. You change the circumstances. So many people have circumstances that change them. You know, we're not supposed to be given to change. Bible says, woe unto you given to change. And I'll tell you what, when some kind of a circumstance comes and wants to bring you into sorrow or some kind of a thing or make you feel sorry for yourself or old me, that's when you lift up your hands and you say, praise God, hallelujah, amen. And you worship and you praise him, amen. And all of a sudden you'll find yourself walking in the victory and the power, amen. It doesn't matter what's going on in this physical house, amen. We've got a spiritual house not made with hands, amen, hallelujah. All right, 1 Timothy 4. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created, be received with thanksgiving of them which believe. And know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially to those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Amen. Wonderful exhortations there in the Scriptures and the Word of God. Amen. We're living in that dark day and hour, as I made mention a moment ago. We find this being written here many, many years ago. This was probably written some 2,000 years ago, what we're reading here. And we talk about then, it says that there was some at that particular time. What about now? We see here an exhortation of doctrine. But then yet we find in our day and hour the preachers don't want to preach doctrine. I've had them stand face to face with them and say, I don't preach doctrine. If a preacher's not preaching doctrine, he's not a preacher. If he's not speaking about doctrine, he has nothing to say. The doctrine, brothers and sisters, is what sets us apart. We need to have a doctrine. We need to understand what the doctrine is. The Bible says if they preach any other doctrine than what the Lord Jesus Christ preached, let him be accursed. So we were commanded, we have to preach a doctrine and teach people. But people just want to hear about Jesus. They want to hear about, oh, well, God loves me. Oh, His mercy is and His grace is sufficient. They don't want to talk about application. They don't want to talk about laboring in the gospel. They don't want to talk about denying themselves. They don't want to talk about having to die out to the beggarly elements of this world. They don't want to talk about being loyal to the things of God and the Word of God. They don't want to talk about being required to be in the house of God. They just want to talk about God being love, God being mercy. Well, I can tell you one thing. That's what that homosexual queer was talking about when he preached over here in a Methodist church. He was preaching, I'm sure, about how God's love is and how much God loves you and how much His mercies endure forever. Amen? Yeah, he may have been preaching the word, but he wasn't applying it because the man absolutely could not be born again. People want to take part of the word. They want to take some of the word, the part that they like. They want to take some of this word, but they don't take all of it. Amen. We don't want to be partway. We don't want to be halfway. I want to get in with God and serve the Lord. And I love the Lord and give my life as a living sacrifice, which is just my reasonable service according to the Scriptures and the Word of God. These exhortations that we find in the Scriptures and reading of God's Word, they're there for a reason, brothers and sisters. You know, they're there for a reason. Because the spirits are the same that walked the earth back in the day of Jesus' time. The same spirits are here today. The same deceiving spirits, the same doctrines of devils, the same lies are here today. Now the Bible talks about in this time about gross darkness and men's hearts waxing worse and worse. So I could say it's even greater and stronger now. Nowadays, you know, Satan has the ministry field of television, and he could pipe his filth and his perversion all around the world. He could take one man that speaks something, and it will ring around the world through what they call media and television and things. And believe me, the media will be used to bring forth the gospel of Satan, to bring forth the lies and the destructive powers of Satan. It's being used for that. Satan owns satellite stations, they say, in the name of the Lord. And they're taking and polluting and perverting and bringing forth some of the most terrible things in our day and hour. Take heed to the things that you hear. Take heed to the things you hear, the Bible says. There's so many exhortations in the Scriptures that are warning us. Try the Spirit, the Bible says. See if it be of God. You know, are people doing that? Are they examining? Are they looking? Are they trying the Spirit? Are they taking it to the Bible and to the Scriptures and seeing what God says? You know, Satan uses the Bible. You got to realize that. He uses the Bible and he quotes it. He speaks it. He uses it and writes. Many times you'll find these writings and they start out with Scriptures and the Word of God. And they'll put a direct quote out of the Bible. And then they'll take and put their mind and their theology and their ideology down into it. And they turn it into perversion and filth. And they give you an interpretation of what they think it says. You're not here this morning to hear what I think it says. You're here to hear what the Word of God has to say. And He speaks expressly, brothers and sisters. And the thing is I'm not here to teach you my thoughts, my feelings, or what I think. I'm here in one thing in defense to the Word of God and to this Bible. Well, how do you know you're right? Well, one thing I can tell you about myself is I've tried to examine and consider. I didn't walk around with my chest sticking out thinking, oh man, I'm God's chosen elect person. Boy, and I'll tell you, if you want to hear about the Word of God, come to me. I walk with fear and trembling before the living God, and I consider and examine. When I see this gross darkness in this world and so many falling away, I get before the Lord and say, God, I don't want to walk in deception. I don't want to walk in darkness. I don't want blinders on my eyes. Lord God, I want, if there's shucks on my eyes, I want them removed, Lord God. I want to see clearly. When we think of Paul, he had shucks on his eyes. Religious man. Very religious man. I mean, he said he was in the synagogues daily. It wasn't once a week. He said he was in there daily. But he come to find out that he had blinders on his eyes. He had to be knocked down on the street called Straight going over there to Damascus. He had to get knocked down. And then he was made blind and told him where to go. And a man prayed for him and baptized him in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ for the remission of his sin. And he said he got the shucks off of his eyes. The blinders came off of his eyes. Brothers and sisters, there's religious people that are walking. They're calling themselves doctors of theology. They're calling themselves pastors and evangelists. They're calling themselves these great men. And they've got television programs and things. And they're nothing but blind. They've never got the blinders off. And they'll put you to death thinking they're doing God a service. You say, well, I haven't seen anybody being put to death. Maybe you ought to visit some other foreign fields. But it's happening here in the U.S. Maybe not what you think about death. Maybe they're not nailing them to a cross. But I've been crucified many times. Amen. Maybe you didn't see me stripped off hanging on top of a cross. But I've been crucified. And the blood of the Lord Jesus has been trampled under their feet as they done it. Amen. Because I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. They put you to death with their tongue. Speak all matter of evil against you. And my Bible says that day we rejoice, amen, when we're persecuted, amen. So I'm not sitting here complaining about it. I know it's expected, amen. I'm a son of God, amen. I'm walking in the authority and the power of the Holy Ghost, and I'm determined to walk through. I'm expected to be spit in my face. I'm expected to be ridiculed and lied against, amen, because I'm about the Father's business. He said that they hated him first, and they'll hate you also, amen, and they won't have no reason to. I ain't give them no reason to hate me. They hate me because I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. They hate me because I expose darkness and the sin of the devil. They hate me because I expose their intellectual darkness and their blindness as they go along and taken with their greed and their lust and taking money from what they call the children of God and taken for they could have their livelihood and living. They're more concerned about their livelihood and living than they are bringing people into eternal life. Sounds like you're upset. I am, brothers and sisters. I'm upset with this religious dried up world we call America. I'm sick and tired of the lies and the deceit and our airways being opened up for the perversions of the gospel and the filth. I'm sick and tired of the colleges of America that allow them to talk about Buddha and Allah and talk about all those things, but you can't mention the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, I'm sick and tired of the education system teaching our children that perversion and sodomy and all that kind of filth is a normal alternate lifestyle. Yes, I'm sick and tired of this world and this world order. I'm sick and tired of the leadership of this world and of United States of America that has allowed these heresies and this filth and perversions to come in, and they're trying to make it doctrine or make it government law is what they're trying to do. Yes, I have a right to be tired of it. Jesus Christ was sick and tired of it also, amen. And he came and put it to an open shame, and he come and exposed those things, amen, when he came across them. We're supposed to be walking as blood-bought, born-again children of God, amen. We're supposed to be walking in the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost. We're supposed to be coming out and supposed to be out of this world and be a separate people. We're not supposed to be numbered with this filthy, perverted mess, amen. When you want to get out here in this world and you want to entertain with it and you want to frolic in it and you want to play in it and you want to play with their vain jingles and stuff, then you are of the world and your father is the devil, according to my Bible. Come out, be a separate people is what the Bible says. We're not part of this world nor the order of this world. I'm not here to lift up this government as some kind of a godly government. It's been perverted. It's fallen. It's fallen away from grace, just as like the chosen people of God. So the thing is, brothers and sisters, open up your eyes and wake up and see what's happening. Amen. And let's repent. Let's get right with God. And let's quit playing religious games with God. Let's just quit having a form of godliness like the Bible says, but denying the power thereof. Everybody claims to be a Christian in America. Start walking the street and interviewing people. Just like I say, I walk up that man last night. I don't have a problem doing that. You start walking the streets. Go down in the mall. Start walking through the mall and walking up to people and say, hey, are you a Christian? Come on now, try it someday. I've done this. Man, it's hard to find somebody that says they're not. Man, I'll tell you what, they'll have bones stuck through their nose and piercings through themselves. They write all over their bodies, got stuff stuck through their tongues and their lips and no telling God knows where else. And they'll say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Why would Christian do something like that? It says to abstain from the appearance of evil. I mean, why would a Christian do that, brothers and sisters? Somebody help me here. Well, you're judging. That's right. Praise God.
Amen.
That's exactly what I'm supposed to do. Because I'm spiritual and I judge all things. That's what I'm called to do. I'm commanded to do that. Amen? That's the doctrines of devils when they tell you you can't judge. We done talked about that Friday, didn't we? Got plenty of Bible. It's funny how somebody will take a passage out of the Scriptures, judge not lest you be judged, and make a whole doctrine around that we can't judge. It says, judge not lest you be judged. Yes, you'll be judged your own self. We know that anyway. Amen? Judgment begins in the house of God. You're being judged this morning. You say, I don't think you can do that. Well, I'm going to go more than that. I'm going to judge angels. That's what the Bible says. It said the saints will judge the angels. It said the least of you in the church. The least of you. The very least of you. If you just got born again and you just come in and you say, well, I'm the least because I haven't been here very long. Well, it said that you could judge all the matters. But devils, they take doctrines. And they teach doctrines. You know why the devil teaches a doctrine in the churches today that you can't judge? Because he don't want to be judged because he's living in that pastor that's teaching that. Are you listening to me, church? He's living when a pastor stands up in a sacred desk or in what they call a pulpit because he's pulling you into the pit of hell. When a pastor stands up and tells you that you can't judge, that pastor is nothing but the man of the devil. And his father's the devil because that's false doctrine. And men of God that are full of the Holy Ghost, anointed by God, do not preach false doctrine. When you got a pastor that stands up in a church and he teaches you that you're a sinner and you sin every day, that pastor is nothing more than of the devil. I was a sinner, but I'm no longer a sinner. I'm a blood-bought, born-again child of God, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away, all things become new. I'm born of God. I'm no longer a sinner. God doesn't even hear a sinner's prayer. So if my preacher tries to tell me that I'm a sinner, he's telling me God doesn't even hear my prayer. Amen. If you've never been born again, yes, you're a sinner and it's appointed on you to die. Amen. And you're lost and you're going to go to corruption. Amen. But when you're born again and you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you've passed from death unto life and you cannot die. Amen. Death has been abolished for you. The Bible said we're more than a conqueror. What do you mean by more than a conqueror? That means that we've conquered death, hell, and the grave. We're more than a conqueror. Amen. Because we're walking in the victory of God. Amen. The Bible said ye that are born of God cannot sin. That's what the Bible says. Ye that are born of God cannot sin. It didn't say you might slip. It said you cannot because sin is death. Sin is the sting of death. You understand that? So if you're sinning, then you've got a death sentence and you're going to die. But I've passed from death unto life. Death has been abolished for me. The last enemy of God is death. Jesus said it's finished. He completed it. He finished death. Amen? It's done with. I can't die. I'm telling you what the Bible says. You say, yeah, preacher, you'll find out one day when they put you in a box. That has nothing to do with it. If you get the opportunity to watch him put this old sorry rascal out there in the ground someday or in a box, amen, you just remember my words, I cannot die, because I can't, amen. That's considered sleep according to the Scriptures when you're a son of God, amen. It said to talk about my forefathers that went off to sleep, amen. There's a difference between sleep and death. Let me tell you that. I'm just telling you what the Bible says.
Amen.
Oh, they don't like this kind of teaching, this kind of doctrine out there. But that's exactly the way it is, amen. I can't die, amen. But the thing is that if this spirit leaves this body, it would be considered death to this fleshly thing. It goes out there back to what it's relative to this earth, goes back into the dust, goes back to corruption, amen. But this spirit of life that's living and dwelling, it's eternal in me, is present with the Lord, amen. I can't die, amen. It has nothing to do with that. And that thing will be redeemed and brought up out of that dirt. That grave will open up and that thing will come forth standing in the power and the strength of the Holy Ghost, amen. He'll gather every one of them elements back up, but they're not going to be no longer the corrupt elements of this earth. They're going to go through the metamorphosis or the transfiguration. They're going to be changed, amen, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and it's going to stand up in the power, amen, of immortality. It's going to stand up outside of the corruption, amen, because it's incorruptible. And it's going to stand up in the strength, and it's going to be seen by the people of this world of what I always was. I'm a son of God, amen. The Bible said, now ye are the sons of God, brothers and sisters, amen. So you're thinking, well, someday I'll be a son of God. Well, that someday may never come to you. I am now. Now, It said now. Now, do you know what now means? And that don't mean it's going to be tomorrow. That don't mean it was or whatever. It means now. Right now. It's now. I am. Amen. You know, He is a God of past and a God of the future, but He's a God of now. Amen. I thank God that He's here now. I thank God He's living in me now. I thank God He's helping me in my present need and time. I thank God He's here. Amen. That's the problem, is that most people have a God that they're saying He's coming someday. Or He was here 2,000 years ago. Oh, He walked among men. Oh, let me tell you about Him. Oh, He's coming back. Amen. He's already here. Amen. Who came in the name of the Lord this morning? The Bible said if two or three of us came in the name of the Lord, He's here. Amen. So what are you waiting for? You say, oh, I'm waiting for His coming. Well, I just thought you just said if we came here in the name of the Lord, He was here. I believe He's here. Amen. The Bible said it's no longer the minister speaking, but it's God speaking through him. So who's speaking? If it's God speaking, that means He must be here. Amen. And what you do to the least of these, my brethren, what the Bible said is what you've done unto him. He said, I was in the hospital or in the prisons. You visited me. I said, but Lord, when was you there? What you done to the least of them? Amen. Amen. We're the sons of God. We're the children of God. We're bone of His bone. We're flesh of His flesh. You know, if I mistreat my brother John right here, I've done it unto the Lord. If I mistreat my sister over here, I've done it unto the Lord. Amen. We need to get real with God's Word, and we need to quit playing religious games with this Bible and with God's Word, and quit acting with this form of godliness, acting like, oh, we got God, or hey, we're somebody special. I said some prayer in 1919, you know, and asked Jesus in my heart, you know, I did this and that. You poor lost individual, get born again, man, and you'll have His Spirit living and dwelling and speaking every single day. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not going on trust to some prayer I said. I'm walking in the Spirit of power, the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of God. Amen. That's what we put our faith and our trust in, is His Spirit. Well, you don't believe in confession with your mouth? I say, yes, I do believe in a confession with the mouth, and also can believe when believing in your heart. Amen. But the Bible teaches, says, you that trust in your own heart are foolish. It says you're a fool. I remember my son-in-law said he went to a pastor for counsel years ago. And the man told me, he said, well, just follow your heart. What kind of advice is that? He should have looked that pastor back in the eye and said, sir, you need to get born again. Man's heart is continually deceitful, and a man doesn't even know his own heart. How are you going to follow your heart? The Bible commands me to follow God, to follow the Spirit of God, to submit to the Spirit of God. Everywhere I read in the Scriptures, we're going to be led by the Spirit, not led by my heart. My heart's continually evil and wicked and deviceful. When you trust your heart and you follow after your heart, it'll lead you right into doctrines of deception. Because your heart wants to live in this world. Your heart wants everything for you. Your heart wants the pleasures. Your heart wants all the things. It likes pride. It likes somebody to come and pat you on the back and say, oh, you the man. That's what your heart wants. So you want to follow after your heart? Well, the Bible says, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, saying you must believe in your heart. That's the problem, is your heart is continually evil and wicked and deviceful. So you need to get rid of that thing and get rid of the mind of that thing and come into the mind of God. And then you can start finding out what being born again is. Amen. Amen. You're not born again because you said some kind of prayer. You're born again because you received the Spirit. You know, a woman and a man could go through the motions because they want to bring a child into this world. They go through the motions. They get married. They try to do everything right. So they're under the sanctimony of marriage. They have their relationship. Oh, they might have the exuberance of their relationship. They might have all the thrill of their relationship. That don't mean they're having a baby, does it? But lest that seed enters into that woman, and lest that seed finds that cycle just right and enters into that egg, then there's going to be no child. And all of that thing's got to be just right. Why are you saying that, preacher? Because it's the same way in the spiritual realm. The Bible said all the unseen things of the spirit world are revealed by the things which do appear. And the thing is, just as you see women that are desiring to have children and they can't because that cycle and all that stuff never really met up and they haven't had it, there's people in this world that will never find salvation. They'll never see it. Their Bible says a barren womb. You think it's just talking about woman that can't bring forth a child? It's talking about this generation of time you're living in. They're barren. They don't have no Christ child. They don't have the spirit of the seed that remaineth in them that keepeth them from sin. They're barren. That's what he's talking about. You see, when you receive his Spirit, amen, and you consider yourself to be the bride of Christ, the bride's for one thing, it's marriage. And you enter into the secret chambers with the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Your husband, you're married unto him. He spoke about even in the Old Testament, he said, I'm married unto the backslider. He's talking about a marriage. And when we come to this marriage, you know why we were made pure without spot, wrinkle, and blemish? Because he's not going to marry some filthy whore. Amen. He's the king. And he cleansed you and made you pure, clean, and spotless. And he took you into that chambers with him, amen. And that seed went in, amen. And that's that seed that remaineth in you that keepeth you from sin. That's that seed that reproduces the image of God. That's the thing that takes place. Paul said, I travail. Travail, just like a woman travails to bring forth a child until Christ be formed in you. There's a travail, brothers and sisters. Just as a woman travails to bring forth a child in this earth, you're going to travail to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit and the power of salvation. Amen. The Bible said, it's ye that endure to the end. Oh, you're teaching works, preacher. You're teaching works unto salvation. Well, let me clear that up with you real quick. You're exactly 100% right. I teach and preach works. I don't preach that works is what saves you, but I preach this, that when you're saved, there will be works, amen, because your faith is dead other than that, and dead faith will not produce salvation. Faith that produces salvation is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's alive, amen. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, amen. It divides the soul and the spirit, amen. This is faith that is alive. It's a quickening spirit, and that kind of faith will set you apart. That kind of faith saves your soul. Amen. You're saved by faith through grace. Amen. By faith, the Bible says, through grace. Amen. Not of your own works that nobody can boast. Amen. But when you have the Spirit of God, it is the Spirit of works. When you have the Spirit of God, it reproduces after its kind. When you have His Spirit, you're about His business, the Bible says. When you have His Spirit, you're a king's kid. Amen. And you walk like a king's kid and talk like one. Amen. When you have His Spirit, there is a manifestation of the Holy Ghost in you. You're about the Father's business, amen. You're walking and talking and doing the will of God and the things of God, amen. You've come out of the world. You are a separate people. You are not touching that unclean thing. You are a peculiar people, a chosen generation. You understand that? But when you look like the world, you dress like the world, and you talk like the world, you are of your father the devil, because that's exactly what you're made manifest, amen. You know, if you got kinky hair and you go and marry and whatever, your child might have kinky hair. If you got blonde hair, your child may have blonde hair. Amen. Well, let me tell you about my Father. He's holy. He's godly. He's virtuous. He's pure. He's clean. And I come after Him. Amen. I'm born of God. Born of the Spirit. Amen. And I'm going to produce godliness and holiness and virtue and righteousness. My conversations are going to be pure, clean, and holy. Amen. Because I've been born again. I've been filled with His Spirit. I'm about His business. Amen. But when you want to talk like the devil, look like the devil, and sing like the devil, and listen to music, then that's who you are of. The Bible said, whoever you yield your members to are who you are of. Do you understand this? This isn't complicated stuff, is it? I mean, let's get real with God. Amen. We just want to play church and we want to play games. You know, as I say, well, I done my part. I went to church this week. Well, let me tell you, the churches are full of a bunch of heathens this morning. The churches are full of a bunch of reprobates today. The churches are full of pastors that's never been born again. You know, you just talk too harsh and just too hard. Well, let's go read some of Jesus' writings when he called them pigs and swines and slow bellies and blind leaders of the blind and dogs. That's the way Jesus talked to them. Hey, he's in me. He's still here. He's still alive. And you know what? We need to hear some of that stuff today. We need to go out here. Just like when I spoke to that United Methodist pastor over there, I wasn't trying to be ugly to him. I was just expressing the truth to him. I said, you know, your founder would be very disappointed with you and your people. What could he say but amen? Because at least he had enough understanding to know the truth when he heard the truth. What could he say to that? Could he dispute that with me? You can't dispute that. Homosexuals got no place in the church. They got a place in the church, and that's a place called repentance, that they can come in and fall on their face to God and repent of their wicked, filthy perversions and sin. There's a place right next to that queer called a place for the drunkard too, to do the same thing. My Bible said that there ain't going to be no drunkards that are going to inherit the kingdom of God. And there's a place right next to the queer and the drunk, place for the liar, because no liar is going to have their place in the kingdom of God either. There's another place right next to that for the fornicator, and one right next to that for the adulterer, one right next to that for the idolater. You understand that? They're there in the house of God for a place of repentance, that they could come and turn away from their sin. And they put it behind them, amen? That's what you got to look for after the first or the second admonishing. You got to look that they put that thing behind them, or otherwise you put them out. Oh, you can't do that. Oh, sure we can, because I don't want the perverts and them around to defile the other people and the children of God. You understand that? Read your Bibles and it tells you very clearly what we're supposed to do with them. It says to turn them over to the destruction of their soul by Satan, that the Spirit can be saved. The Spirit in the church, for the people in the church. If there's a talebearer among you, the Bible says, remove the talebearer and the strife will cease. Amen. And if the Bible says, if a brother walks disorderly, to separate yourself from him. Oh, but we've got this doctrine. Oh, but we got to love him. Yes, we love him. Right into that place of repentance right there. Remember where the queer was, and remember where the drunkard was, and the adulterer and the fornicator. Yeah, we got a place for him right there. We invite him in with open arms and we love him. Sometimes we give them a hug and they smell like they've been to hell from sucking on their smokes and their cigarettes. Sometimes we hug them and they smell like puke, a stench in the nostrils of God, because they've been out rolling in the booze all night long, and we love them. And we say, I love you. God loves you. Amen. He's got a place for you. Amen. He wants to cleanse you. He wants to wash you. Amen. He wants to make you pure and whole. Amen. Hallelujah. That's our obligation, to love the heathen, brothers and sisters. But we're not going to give them a place of fellowship in their ungodly perversions and their filth. If they're going to fellowship, that means they're going to get cleaned up and washed by Jesus Christ, by the blood of the Lamb, and they're going to be pure and clean. Amen. Hallelujah. We make allowances for little children. Amen. That when they come, we know that they'll stumble. You know, when you have a little baby and you bring them into the world, oh yeah, you got to change diapers for a while. You know, has any mamas ever say, boy, I love changing diapers. Man, I just love the smell of that. Man, I tell you, I enjoy it. I peel that old diaper off. Boy, I just like the smell of that. No, you don't hear that. But they say it's an obligation. It's something I got to do for the baby's health. For the baby to be clean. That's what good mamas do. They take and clean that little baby up. Yeah, they put a little powder on it. Make him smell a little better. Amen. We got to do the same things when we got babies that come amongst. We got to nurture them up. Yeah, we expect them to stumble a little bit. We expect them to fall a little bit. But we expect, brothers and sisters, for them to start growing up. Amen. Just as mama starts potty training that little baby. Just as mama starts helping them learning how to walk, and daddy does. And all those things. This is what we're here to do as the saints of God. We're teaching them how to be led by the Spirit. How to listen to the voice of God. How to hear and how to walk in the Spirit. Amen. That's our obligation. If they're not walking and they don't grow up and doing those things, there's something wrong. God doesn't have no retarded children. Don't misunderstand what I just said. Let me tell you, when you think of what your concept of some retarded or handicapped child, I'm not speaking of that. So some of them children have never come to a mind. They wouldn't understand God or the message of salvation. That little child's spirit sealed in with God. Nothing could touch him. Nothing could be laid to his charge. I'm not speaking about it. I'm talking about in another dimension of the spirit realm. In the Spirit of God, there is no retarded children. Do you understand that? Everything's pure. Everything's clean. Everything's virtuous. Everything's holy. Everything's godly. Everything's just. Everything's right. Nothing is defiled. Amen. And when you see something in that kingdom, amen, and you see something that is going to walk in the virtue, the power, the anointing, and the strength, amen. But they're making too many allowances today. They're taking and putting preachers after they went out and left their wives and went and married some other woman, and they're ordaining them and putting them in the churches, you know, when they was preachers and pastors and they had a wife, but they got tired of that one. They went and got them another one. That man ain't fit to ever step behind a sacred desk ever again. You know, you're taking the grace of God away, preacher. You're taking the blood away. The Bible said, willful sin, there remaineth no more sacrifice for willful sin. That you have one thing to look forward to, and that's the fiery indignation of God. The Bible doesn't teach us that we have this blood that we could just keep pleading over our willful sin. When you've been born again, you've been washed in the blood, and that blood put that sin as far as the east is the west from you. It took you out of the Adamic nature of Adam, and it sealed you in and purchased you, and you are a blood-bought, born-again child of the Most High God. Amen. But when you go out and walk into willful sin, blood is not there to cover that. I'm telling you that. I got scriptures I could take you over the Bibles and read that. The Bible said you have one thing to look forward to, and that's the fiery indignation. If you are God's elect, the fiery indignation is not hell. The fiery indignation is the Holy Ghost fire that John the Baptist said, I'm not worthy to even unlatch his shoes, but one will come after me, and he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. My Bible said he chastens them that he loves. Amen. And if you are God's elect, it's because he loves you. Amen. And the thing is when you walk off in some willful thing, the Bible said, blessed is the man who God will not impute it as sin. It may not be imputed to sin to you, but you better hang on, because my God will take and wear you out. Amen. You talk about going behind the woodshed. Amen. I've had God wear me out. You know why? Because I'm his children. I'm his child. I'm the just. Amen. And he said he chastens them that he loves. Amen. And he will allow, and he will allow you to be chastened. He said, well, how does he do that? Let me tell you, he got away. Amen. Let me tell you, sometimes some people that get rich and they get looking to their God of mammon, sometimes he'll strip them down, amen. He'll take their finances, he'll take things, you understand what I'm saying? And that'll make them come to repentance. Just like I said, there's some that were his elect and chosen, and they chose to walk in the beggarly elements of this world and those things. And yes, he would make an allowance that said, evil cannot come to the city lest I send it, saith the Lord. And God has his way both in the good and evil. Yes, cancer's an evil thing, but let me tell you something, my God will allow it to take and start consuming the flesh of a man that he could repent of his sins and he could turn around, amen, and start walking in the power of his salvation. You say, I don't believe God would allow that. Well, you better start reading your Bible. That's all I got to say. You better start reading your word and get out of your religious vomit. Because I'm telling you what, he has his way in all things, in the good and in the evil, says the Lord. Amen. So we better start understanding God. He chastens them that he loves. You tell me then how he chastens. What do you expect, a big wooden paddle to come down out of the sky and blister your little backside? Well, I wish it was that way sometimes, man, because we'd all have to stand in line. Amen. But God chastens. Amen. He has a way of getting your attention, amen. He has a way of waking you up, amen, and he'll do that. I'm telling you what, he has his way, and no, it's not his will. His will is for you to walk in health and the strength and prosperity. His will is for you to have a perfect marriage. His will is for you to have these things. But when you walk in disobedience, amen, then obedience is better than sacrifice. And when you walk in on disobedience, you're going to find sacrifice in your life. You're going to find that God pulls back, and you're going to find there's going to be sacrifices and things happening. And you say, so every time there's some kind of bad thing happening, is it because of evil in your life? No, let me tell you, the Bible teaches us again that even the just and the righteous, they're persecuted all the day long. Amen. In the scriptures, it said that the righteous die young and the wicked live long. It said there's no reason to understand. So we got to get an understanding, line upon line, precept upon precept. You know, we can get off on some kind of a witch hunt, some kind of wild chase here. Amen. Just fall in love with Jesus. Serve him. Talk to him. Fellowship with him. Pray that he opens up your ears that you could hear that still small voice and walk with him. Pray that he'll take the blinders off your eyes that you could see good and see clear and see good when good comes. Amen. Pray that he'll be the light under your path that you could walk in the Spirit of God and be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. There's many people that are not walking that way. You know, when we talk about praying for the blind and praying for the lame that can't walk and those kind of things, yes, I believe in physical healings and miraculous healings. I'm standing here today because God miraculously has healed this body and delivered me from death sentences, not once, not twice, but I'm telling you, that's why I'm here. I know the power of God, but there's something much more precious than the eyesight with these eyeballs. There's something much more precious than the vibration that hits these ears, and it's the Word of God, amen, that's spoken to you, that you have ears to hear it. It's the eyesight that you could see into the kingdom of God beyond the veil of this lying vanity world, and you could see into his kingdom, amen. That's the eyesight that we need to be praying for people and laying hands on people that they could receive. You know, the apostles laid hands on them and the Holy Ghost was imparted and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, amen, and we need to start walking in the power of God and the power of salvation and start exercising this abilities and powers to bring forth life, preaching the good news of the gospel. Let me read a scripture over here in 2 Timothy, the first chapter here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. It wasn't by the will of his granddaddy, was it? It wasn't because grandma thought he was supposed to preach, was it? It wasn't because he went to some college over here and got him a doctor's degree in theology, was it? By the will of God. Amen. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfringed faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. I'm going to close here very directly. I'm going to read on just in a little bit more, but let me talk about verse 8 just for a moment. I'm just going to give you something to ponder on. Let's read it one more time. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. Now, if we go and read in the book of Acts, we're going to see the early church, that they were partakers of the affliction. We talk about Jesus Christ suffering. We talk about the affliction that he went through on the cross that we could have salvation and life. We had a preacher come right here and visited with us. And he said, if your church is preaching suffering, he said, run from that church. And this man come here in this church, he starts saying, if your church is teaching suffering, run from that church. He said, Jesus Christ done all the suffering for us. I know what Jesus done for me, and yes, he suffered. I mean, it was a brutal, terrible, hideous death that he did on the cross. But there's too many places in the Bible he said, equip yourself with a mind to suffer. He said, blessed are you that are persecuted. Amen. When we're persecuted for his name's sake. Here where they're telling us about affliction. Let me tell you something. There's people that are won into the kingdom of God because of the afflictions that many times the saints of God go through. You know, many times when everything is just going good and everything's smooth and there's no persecution, no tribulation, no afflictions, and you're just going along through life and, boy, you'll praise God, glory be to God, hallelujah, I love you, Jesus. Hey, that's all fine and great. That doesn't move people. But when the tribulation, when the persecutions, when the suffering comes to your house and they see this affliction and suffering, and you got your hands lifted up to God and saying, God, you are an awesome God. Hallelujah. Lord God, I love you. I praise you. I worship you. You are my God. You are my King. When they strip everything down and they take everything away, when they speak all matter of evil against you and you find yourself going through this kind of fire, amen, and you could lift up your hands to the heaven and say, Lord God, I love you. I praise you and I worship you, Lord God. Amen. People say, there's something about that man's God. There's something that's living in that individual that wants to just praise God. That's something that's real. Amen. Let me tell you something. God has his way in the good and the evil. That's how he has his way in it. I shared the story with about a friend of mine over in the areas of Oklahoma. I got him on the telephone and he's going through this suffering with Parkinson. He shakes real bad. It's embarrassing to him. He said, I go out to a restaurant, I can't even hold a glass to take a drink of water. And he said, but I go to church, they say, where's your faith? Where's your faith at? Where's your faith? They said to the Son of Man when he's on the cross, amen. They said, hey, physician, heal thyself. If you're who you say you are, come down off that cross. Amen. But I'll tell you what he says in the scriptures, my grace is sufficient. Yes, I know God could take Parkinson's disease. He could take it right out of you and make you smooth as glass. I'm telling you what, he could take blindness out of your eyes, amen, and make you see clearly. He could raise you up when you've been lame and had no strength in your legs or ankle bones, and he could raise you up, man, and put that strength in there, and you can walk away. I know the power of God, amen. But let me tell you something. It takes the power of a God when a man is in that kind of an affliction that he can stand before the people and say, I'm serving an awesome God. Brother Pike was a man of God. He laid hands on people around the world that were delivered from sicknesses and diseases and that were healed and even been known to raise the dead, amen, and done those kind of things. But he had afflictions going on in his body, amen. He was suffering with diseases and different kind of things. And he was preaching the gospel and laying hands on people with a mere little headache when he had things that was just taking and consuming him. You understand that? But he didn't yield to that. He didn't give heed to that. He didn't give ear to that. Man, he preached about the power of salvation, the healing virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And he preached that all the way until he took his last breath. Brothers, we're not relative to this body. Amen. This body come in the image of the beast, come in the image of sin. It came with this sentence to go back out there to the dust in which it came. Yes, I believe in the metamorphosis. I believe in the transfiguration. I believe in the change to this body. Amen. But right now it's relative to this world. I don't worship it. It's the vanity. It's the lie. And God will allow sometimes different kind of things, and it's a lie. And you don't have to receive the lie. Amen. You praise and you worship and you honor God. If you look at this lie and vanity of this flesh, the Bible said you forsake your own mercy. Do you understand that? We're talking about God. You might have a physical problem, but you talk about the goodness and the love of God and the purity of God, and you talk about health and you talk about strength. You say, well, if it's there, I want to see it manifest. It will. Amen. You set your faith with God and you believe, and it could be made manifest in your body. Amen. And you could walk away from any death sentence and any kind of infirmity. Amen. But I'm telling you this, if you don't see that take place, it doesn't change the fact that we're serving a powerful God, and he's a healer and he's a deliverer. Amen. Let me go on just a little bit. We're not going to keep you much longer. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to understanding, to light, something we could see. Light. You understand that? When is this last enemy of God? The Bible said the last enemy of God to be conquered is what? Death. Well, when's that going to happen? It's already happened. It's already finished. It's already done. You see, the people of this world don't see that. Why? Because they don't have eyes to see. Death has already been conquered. And see, people even in the Christian realms that professing Christianity don't believe that, because they had to bury mama, daddy, grandma, grandpa, or husband, or son, or daughter, whatever. Say, oh, they don't believe that death is conquered. Jesus is not a liar. He is the truth, and it's yea and amen. His word is just and it's righteous, and it's conquered. It's finished. He said it's finished. Amen. Death is conquered. That's why he speaks to us in his scriptures, in his word, and by the Spirit. And he says we're more than conquerors. That's why he says that we've passed from death unto life. That's why he says that we cannot die. That's why he says we cannot sin. Amen. Because we are the blood-bought, redeemed children of God. Amen. And if you sin, the Bible says you're of the devil. If you sin, that's the sting of death. But we've passed from death unto life. We need to receive the word of God and quit playing religious games. The Bible says in 1 John, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar and deceive yourself. If you're a man and say that you've never sinned or never had sin, you're lying and deceive yourself. I understand that. But you go to 1 John 3 and it says that if you sin, you're of your father, the devil. And it said, you that are born of God cannot sin. I'm talking about born again. You got to make yourself twain, both Lord and Christ. You got to make yourself twain, both Son of Man, Son of God. The Bible says you have an inner man, you have an outer man. Amen. The outer man is relative to this world. The inner man is relative to the kingdom of God. Amen. The kingdom of God dwells in you, the Bible says. Amen. We got to rend the veil between these two. Amen. And we need to speak by the Spirit. Paul said, I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. Amen. He wanted to speak by the Spirit. He didn't want to come and talk to you as men. He didn't want to come and say, oh me, oh poor me, my body aches, oh me, my back hurts, oh me, my side hurts. I besought God twice about it, and he said, my grace is sufficient. No, he didn't do that. He came with the power of salvation. He came with the word of God. He came with the delivery of the word of God. Amen. He wanted to speak to him as unto spiritual and say, look, you've passed from death unto life. You can't die. You're born of God. You're hid away. You're sealed in. Nothing could be laid to your charge. Amen. You've already been caught away, dwelling in heavenly places. Amen. Church, let's understand where we're at. Let's understand who we are. We are are a royal priesthood. We're a chosen generation. Amen. We're the redeemed of the Lord. We're born of God. We can't sin. Nothing can pluck us out of the hand of God. It's finished. Where death is over. Amen. I'm eternal. I'm living forever. I can't die. We need to believe the Word. Quit playing games with the Word of God. Start taking your rightful place. Start walking in the authority and the power. Amen. Be ye filled with the Holy Ghost. His power. The Bible said, be endued with the power. The power of what? The power to overcome the world. The power to overcome sin. The power to come out of the world and be a peculiar people. Let's quit walking in weakness of the beggarly elements of this world. Let's change our poor mouth confessions of all the ignorance and all the things. And let's start knowing who we are in Christ. Let's take our rightful place. Let's make our marriages strong and powerful and virtuous. Let people see what the love of God is. Amen. Let it manifest in the home. Let's fathers have this a nice kind word to speak to their wives and to their children. And let wives have a kind word to speak. Let them speak to their husbands as Lord. Let them speak to them with grace. Let them speak to them with some kind of love and respect, amen. When a mother's bickering and hollering and griping and complaining all the time, she can't have the Holy Ghost, amen. Because the Bible says a man's better to live on the rooftop. If a woman's doing that, she just simply needs to get born again. That's simple, thus saith the Lord, amen. We need to quit playing games and quit saying, oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, I've been born again. You need to start walking like a son of God, talking like a son of God, and let virtue and righteousness and holy things come out of your mouth. Start dressing like a woman. Start dressing like a lady. Start dressing like a virtuous woman. And quit dressing like some kind of slut and whore. And paint yourself up like some kind of Jezebel. Start showing the virtue of God. The Bible said the woman is to be shamefaced. You understand that? Not to be forward in their spirit. But now they're putting them in the sacred desk. And they're putting them all over the place. Putting them on TV. And they're forward to get in your face. And they're running for presidency and stuff. A woman's a great thing. Don't misunderstand me. You take the women out of the ministry here, it would be a great blow to the things of God. Women have an awesome place in the things of God. They got the anointing and the power of salvation. The anointing of the Holy Ghost. They need to be showing other women how to live, how to act right. Amen. And they can speak God's word. They can prophesy under the anointing and the power of God. And it'll come to pass, amen. So don't you misunderstand me. I'm the woman, amen, because I'm the bride of Christ and I got to submit unto Him, amen. I got to take and submit to Him. He's my headship, amen. So I understand what I'm saying when we're talking about the woman being in subjection and submission. Me being a bride under subjection and submission to the Lord. But it's not the bride of Christ speaking here this morning. It's the blood-bought, redeemed Son of the living God, amen. The Bible said it's no longer that man speaking, but it's God speaking through him, amen. I'm not here. If I get into my flesh and start speaking out of the flesh, then that's the woman with a mouth in the church, and it says for her to keep silent. So we don't want to hear from the flesh of man. It shows the feminine gender. Amen. You've got an inner man and an outer man. I know the Bible says, it says, I'll show you a mystery. When the man and woman marry, they become one in the flesh. There is an inner man, that quickening spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we take this feminine outer part, and it shows that feminine. There's a marriage there, and they become one in the flesh. Amen. I understand the Word of God in the Scriptures, how to make twain, how to make body, soul, spirit, Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. Amen. I understand how to differentiate these things. So brothers and sisters, I say, let's take heed to the Scriptures, the Word of God, and let's start taking our rightful place and walk like sons of God. Let's give him a hand this morning. You can stand together with me this morning. Amen. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my God and my King. Amen. I'm not here to tell you about some theology of man or some ideology of man or some religious Western orthodox or theology. I'm here to talk about Jesus and Him alone, because He is my God, my King, and my Lord. Amen. You love Him this morning? Thank you for coming out to the house of God this morning. Let's worship the Lord and praise Him. Amen. We're going to sing a song or two. The altars are open. Amen. If you have need of prayer, our God is here. Amen. He's a healer, a deliverer. The Bible said, if they're sick and afflicted among you, come forward in the church, let the elders anoint them with oil. And it said they could by chance and maybe could be healed. No, I didn't say that. It said they shall be. Amen. Just check it and make sure you're listening. They shall be. Amen. I believe in God's word. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If you've been set free this morning, let's give him a hand.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I've been set free.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory.
There's no need to carry burdens. There's no need to carry the weights and the shackles of sin. Amen. We could be set free. Amen. Set free, man, and receive the spirit of life and the power. and the joy of salvation, amen. A peace that surpasses all understanding, amen. It's not something that's a hope. It's something that's a reality.
Amen.
It's something that's now. Praise and we can be partakers of it, amen. Hallelujah. We've seen women come here for a camp meeting, and I remember one leaning over here against the wall, man, and just had this burden and this weight. Been a Christian, professing Christian for years, but carrying this burden and this thing, you know. There's women that carry these burdens of molestations and things where they've been done wrong and hideous things. Amen. But you know, we can be set free from that.
Amen.
You know what? We can even fall in love with the one that done it.
Right.
Amen. And we love them so much that we want to see their soul saved. Amen.
Praise God. Amen.
No, that doesn't mean when you fall in love, you go fellowship them. If you've been violated by some kind of a pedophile as a child, when you fall in love, don't mean that you've got to go fellowship that individual.
Amen.
It means that you've got the love for their soul and you could seek after God.
Yes.
Look at the hideous things that took place to our God, amen, to the Lord Jesus Christ being nailed on that cross. And he said, Lord God, forgive them. They know not what they do. There's people that don't know what they've done because they're blind themselves in sin and shame of the world. They've been possessed by demon spirits and they do hideous things. And you could love that man and you could pray to God to forgive them. Or that woman, you could pray for God to forgive them. Amen. If they could be set free and delivered from that hideous thing. You can't carry the bitterness. You can't carry the hate. That's not godly. It just destroys you. You got to let it go and say, God, I love you. Amen. I'm thankful, God, that I've been abused. I'm thankful, God, that I've been beat. I'm thankful, God, that I've been persecuted because you showed me your love. You showed me your power. You showed me your strength. Amen. Hallelujah. We're redeemed. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Everything I'm not,
that's peace.
Lord,
thank you, Lord.
Try
it surpasses your understanding.
See,
amen.
See that I
thank you, Lord Jesus.
Yours. I'm yours, Lord. Everything I've got, everything I am, and everything I've got, I'm yours, Lord. Try me now and see.
Praise God. We won't carry much longer. The altars are open. Hallelujah. If you want, just come into altars and worship and praise. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord God.
Everything I am and everything I'm not, I'm yours, Lord. Try me now and see.
I feel the delivering hand from the power of God.
Hallelujah.
He could lift away them weights and them burdens of sin. He could take away doubt and unbelief. Amen. Hallelujah.
Everything I am.
We want to see our lost family members won to the kingdom of God. Then we need to walk in the power. We need to walk in the authority. We need to walk in the joy of salvation. That they can see good when good comes, because good is living and dwelling in us. Good, the only good thing is God. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Everything I've got, everything I am, and everything I'm not, I'm yours, Lord.
He's so excited about preacher. I'm excited because I'm the redeemed of the Lord. I'm born again. I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. I've got something to have joy about because I'm living forever. I'm eternal. Amen. I got something to have joy about because I can't die. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't have no fear. We started reading about fear here today. Amen. I don't got no fear of death. Death
Amen.
Can't touch me. It can't get near to me. I watch people, man, the doctor give them a death sentence. They get to fear and get all this fear and anxiety. This thing. Man, I'll tell you what, there ain't nothing to fear. It can't get to you. It can't get around you when you're a son of God. You know? Amen.
Amen.
We're not of this world.
Right.
This isn't our world. Longevity isn't living long life in this world. It's eternal in the kingdom of God in the heavens. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. This life's just full of vexation of the spirit. Misery here for a moment, it's gone. Amen. Quicker than a weaver's shuttle, like a vapor in a mist. Man, don't put all your hope and trust in your riches and in your popularity, or if you feel good in that. Don't put your hope in God and your trust in Him. Let Him be your Lord, your God, your King. Amen.
Amen.
Praise Him, rejoice. Amen. And when you start doing that, you'll get a little heaven. You understand what
Amen.
I'm saying? Amen. You get a little bit of heaven right now. Amen. Oh, you can touch that body. Amen. He could touch that body right now, man, and you walk away from them physical infirmities. Right now, I'm not talking about next week or tomorrow or whatever. I'm talking about now. You can walk away from those things. Just catch you away. Amen. I come up here behind the sacred desk so many times, man, with throbbing and pains and things from physical affliction. I get to preach in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that just lifts me. Amen. Don't
Amen.
Even think about
Praise
it.
Praise you, Lord.
Yeah? Don't even think about it. Amen.
Amen.
And you go back down and you kind of sit there and go, oh, boy. Amen. Well, praise God. Amen. I want to stay in that place. Amen. I want to stay right there in that place with Him all the time. We're serving a good God, a just God, a righteous God, a holy God. Do you believe in the power of the blood?
Lord, you are able of victory. There's wonderful power in the blood.
For that blood that was spilled for me at Calvary, amen. And I received the power. He said, go ye and tarry there until you're endued with power, amen. Hallelujah. I've been endued with power, amen. It's the power to endure forever. That's how you know someone's saved, because they endure till the end. They endure forever and ever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Have you received the power? Amen. Have you received the infilling of the Holy Ghost? Have you been baptized? Amen. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. Amen. Let's sing it again. Amen. There's power. Amen. As Brother Ed Luffman comes up to dismiss us this morning, just ask God, fill me with the power of the Holy Ghost. Fill me up. Let my cup overrun. Amen. I want that divine power to flow through my innermost being. I want to be raised up in the power of His salvation. I want to walk in the power of His Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's give Him a hand one more time as we praise and we worship our God and our King and our Lord, our salvation, our Savior, our strength, our healing. Hallelujah. He's our God. Worship Him and praise Him that He can inhabit your praises. Praise you, Lord God. We love you, Jesus. You are our Lord and our God. Hallelujah. We praise your name, Lord God.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.